Come, Holy Spirit, into this place. We greet you here. We receive you. May you empower us. But most of all, open our hearts to worship the King, our Father. In his name we gather. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
What a beautiful way to be ushered into a spirit of worship as we celebrate the birthday of the church. Thursday, we sang happy birthday to Anna Zell, and today we sing happy birthday to this thing that we have been calling church for some time. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and descended upon the believers, and new possibilities were opened up. People were able to connect. And that's one of the main reasons we're here today, is to connect with each other and connect with our Father in heaven. If you're a visitor with us today, we especially extend that welcome of connection to you and encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. Include your email and we'll be able to send you some updates about things that are coming up in the life of the church. We do have a lot of opportunities this week and next week. They're mentioned there in the salmon sheets. We encourage you to get one of those every week and take a look at what's coming up in First Baptist Church. One thing that we do want to highlight today is to remind you that immediately after today's worship service, after the postlude, we will have a very brief business meeting, a roundtable meeting here in the sanctuary, to approve the deacon nomination team. Their names are listed right there in the back of your on the second page of your bulletin. So that'll be right after the service. It won't take very long. Members, we ask that you stay for that. Also want to remind you that in your bulletin there is a list, or there is a ballot for recommendations for deacon. We're already wanting to receive those and begin thinking about those. If you haven't had a chance to think about the deacons for our next deacon board or fellowship of deacons, don't fill it out today. Take it home. Pray over it. Think about it. Look through the directory. Think about those men and women of our church who have exhibited spiritual gifts, the desire to lead and to disciple others, those who have special gifts in caring for anyone in the hospital or sick. These are the type of people we're seeking to serve the Lord and to serve this congregation.
Our opening scripture this morning is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Let us pray this morning. Father God, as we gather in this place today, we ask that you ignite us with the fiery passion for your mission in the world. Warm us by the Spirit's dancing tongues of flame, that we may feel your kindling blaze within. Urge us to do greater good. Make us wholly present to experience a new birth, just as the church was born so many years ago, and awaken the possibilities within us, not just in this place, not just within these walls, but in this world. Father God, allow us to share your love in this world, your love in abundance. We come to celebrate your harvest. May we feel the blaze of your Spirit within us, within each one of us individually, as a congregation, as a universal church, and as a world. Father God, we are gathered here in this place to celebrate a birth, knowing what it challenges us to do. We lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 247, Come Thou Almighty King, verses 1, 3, and 4. Please stand. At this time, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. We got two pastor's kids up here. We are in trouble this morning. And especially when we got fire and talking about flames and talking about excitement, that is trouble, I know, with you two. Big, big trouble. I'm going to ask you a question. Which one of you did it? Do you know what you're accusing the other one of doing? I do. This is the youth group iPod.
Now, whenever we go anywhere, we play music. They love music. We play it loud. It's usually very loud. And I had my iPod charged up this morning, ready to play music for our children's sermon. And when I came in my office this morning, actually after Sunday school, I came in and it was not plugged in. And we have a problem because, here, turn it on for me. Trouble? Well, here, let me give it to Luke. Since Luke, turn it on for me, please. Do you see my problem now? What's the problem? It won't turn on. Now, why do you think that my iPod won't turn on? I did charge it. That's why I was asking which one of you unplugged it. Because it was charged, fully charged, and the potential inside of this for great loud music is there, but I cannot work it because it will not turn on. That's a problem, right? That's a problem. The potential in this iPod is great, but without any power, what good is it? Not much, right? Can't do much. You know, that's kind of why we're celebrating today, too. Today is Pentecost. Now, if you remember the story in Scripture, Miss Susan just read it just a minute ago. All the disciples were gathered together. And God sent who? Who did God send? What? Jesus? No, let's go a step further. Jesus had already ascended back into heaven. He said, I will go ask the Father to send you somebody. And that somebody is going to help you. And do you know who he sent? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. And all of a sudden, they were speaking in words and languages they didn't even know they knew. And everybody in the crowd were hearing their original language. And they're like, wow, what in the world is going on? You see, the disciples had the potential, just like this iPod had the potential. But they needed a source of power to unleash, to let go of all the things that they could possibly do. And when the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them, all of a sudden they could do everything imaginable. That's kind of like us, you know? Did you know, just like the disciples were created, you were created the same way? Did you know, deep inside of you, each one of you, we have the potential to do some pretty incredible things that God wants us to use? We just have to let that Spirit in us and drive us and push us to do it. You know, the reason we're here today is because the disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit and they started spreading the word. And the church was born. And it has grown by millions and millions and millions since that very beginning birth date when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. The potential is there. There's potential in every single one of us. But unless we let the Spirit guide us, it's kind of like a iPod that won't turn on. But when we have that power, it can be unleashed, and we can change the world. So I'm going to ask you again, who didn't plug in the iPod? I didn't plug it in. I didn't plug it in, but the potential is there. Let's pray, thanking God for sending the Holy Spirit, not just so many years ago, but even today to each one of us. Let's pray. Father God, I'm thankful for these young men. Their energy and enthusiasm can sometimes be contagious, just like your spirit, the fire that you sent, can be contagious as well. Father God, we are thankful for this day of celebration, this birth date of the church. And we just ask that you continue to allow us to use the Spirit, just as you used it so many years ago with the disciples, to spread the word of your love, your kindness, your compassion, and most importantly, your salvation. May we be tuned in and plugged in to the Spirit as we seek to honor you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
me pray. Father God, as we come to the time of the service where we're called to return a portion of the blessings and the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, we are reminded that those gifts that you've given us not always come out of our wallet, but they come from the source of your Spirit within us. Father, as we turn a portion of these gifts to you, may our whole lives be offerings inspired by your Holy Spirit. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Great things about the day of Pentecost is that it was reversal of the Tower of Babel, that moment where God confused the languages of the people and there was division for the first time in human history. But at Pentecost, this moment is reversed. The book of Genesis chapter 11 tells the story. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar, and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Now we need not build a tower to heaven, for the Lord has come down. The Spirit, like a dove, descended. The Spirit, like flaming flames of tongues of fire, has rested upon us. And now we know the Lord. and now we know each other. Let us pray. Oh God, we pause to make confession to you for the many moments in which we have closed our ears to the Spirit's voice. Precious Spirit, forgive us when we try to work our way up to the kingdom. Forgive us when we, in our arrogance, think that we can do anything on our own, by our own hands, by our own strength, by our own power. We try to muscle our way through life. Help us to learn that it's not about being powerful, but being yielding to the power of the Spirit. And God, we give you thanks and celebrate that Spirit that brings with it on its wings mercy and grace. That you are the God who forgives and washes away all iniquity, all sin, all corruption, all guilt and shame. And you recreate us again in your image. And Lord, it is in the strength of the Spirit that we call upon you to hear our prayer for this nation, for this world in which we live, for the people who are suffering, people who are hungry and cold and naked, people who are homeless, people who are without a place to call home, wanderers, nomads, refugees, immigrants, people cast out and cast abroad over the face of the earth. Confused and unable to communicate. And Lord, we pray for those even here in this place who seek security, who seek stability, who seek safety, who seek comfort. We pray that we would all have what your will, your perfect will, has designed. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me? Spirit, come and open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our minds. Cause us to submit and to surrender. And help us to know the way and the truth. In his name we pray. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning that we're wrestling with talks quite a bit about in this language of adoption and parenthood. And we have just celebrated Mother's Day, and indeed celebrated all the women in our lives who are our spiritual mothers as well. Today is not Father's Day, but I think it's helpful for us to understand the role of the Spirit in our lives, to think about this connection we have with the Almighty. It's a parenting-child connection. You all have had experience with mothers, fathers, babies, grandbabies. Anybody got grandchildren? Yeah, you usually know it when someone has grandchildren. And I was thinking this week about my own children and just that experience, the birthing experience. It is an experience. And when Wesley was born, I was a little more prepared. I think I was a little calmer. You know, I've been through this once. I maybe even fooled myself into thinking I'm a bit of an expert now because I've had one. And that helped in a lot of ways, because when Kim went into labor with Wesley, and we were very calm, we went and packed all of our things, we went to the hospital, and it was late at night in Elizabeth City, and everything was locked. And we kind of knew this, but we forgot in the heat of the moment that you're supposed to go through the emergency room after hours. We go into the emergency room, and they don't offer her a wheelchair. They don't offer any assistance. They barely even want to talk to us because they're packed. They just say, make your way down that hallway, take a left, take a right, take another left, take the elevator to the maternity ward, go down that hallway, and turn right. Did you get all that? We actually navigate that maze getting there because we're focused. We're intense now. We're intentional. And we're going to make it to the maternity ward before this baby comes. And there I am with two bags over my shoulder, overnight bags. There is Kim, great with child, to put it in biblical terms. And there is the maternity desk with two nurses. And they look at us and say, can we help you with something? I was like, yeah, we're here to check into the motel. But we were calm. We didn't get upset. But now when Wilson was born, I was not ready. We had gone through all the drills, and we had gone through the Lamaze classes and held the piece of ice in our hand so that I can understand the pain. And I still am not convinced there's any connection there whatsoever with what my wife would experience. But it was, again, late at night, and Kim just calmly, very politely said, oh, I think it's time. That was how she reacted, as she always does in stressful situations, calm, cool, collected. Me? Oh my goodness! I am running around. I don't know what to do. I'm grabbing bags. I'm grabbing things. I'm jumping up and down. I get in the car. I almost leave the woman. I am out of my mind. We get to the doctor's office. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. We go through the whole experience. I won't tell you about anything that Kim said or did in that moment, because I am sworn an oath of sacred secrecy that if I were to divulge any of those things that she said in her sleepy state, in her pregnant state, in her labor state, she has said she will kill me. She showed me the knife. But in all of that chaos, a life comes forth. And I never forget that moment where there's this little baby. He's screaming his little head off, fists clenched, eyes shut tight, and I am presented with this life to hold in my hands for the first time. And there I am holding the screaming baby boy, and I say something to him that I had said to him over and over again through the womb, many times, talking to the belly as we always do. Daddy loves you. And when I said that, the crying immediately stopped. The little hands opened up. The little eyes opened up. And there about 8 inches from my face, everything changed. What is it about being human that we can hear a voice like that, even as an infant? We don't know anything. We don't know who we are or what anything is, and we can barely focus on anything as it is, and all we know is we're hungry and we're not where we once were. But to hear a voice, Daddy loves you, and to know that voice. You see, with mothers, I think this bond is instant. It's genetic. It's already taken place. But we fathers have to work a little bit at it. And that the love we get is a response to the love we give. I really think that's at the heart of this imagery Paul is trying to use when he talks about the Holy Spirit. Why does it matter? What is this all about, Spirit? Why do we call God Father? Why do we have this kind of image in our minds when it comes to the Lord? Because here's what the Spirit does. It gives us this adoption into the family of God. Now, I don't know if any of you have adopted a child before, but those friends of mine who have, I have learned that there is a whole lot more effort involved in adopting a child. There's usually great cost. There's usually great anticipation and pain, and there's a lot of work that you have to go through. And if you adopt a child, it's because you have intentionally, definitely chosen this child. God said, that's how it is with you. I have paid a great price for you. I've gone through all the paperwork and the agencies for you. I have flown across the globe for you. I have done it all because I want you to be my child, and I want you to hear Daddy loves you. Listen to what Paul writes here in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. He says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." There is this phrase in there, Abba, Father. Many years ago, Joachim Jeremias, a German scholar, suggested that this word Abba was sort of like an Aramaic baby talk, like daddy or dada. He quickly decided that this is not the case at all. It's actually a very formal father. And it's always there, Father God. But before he could even write his retraction, this notion of calling God dada stuck into the psyche of people everywhere. I have heard many people pray to Daddy, our heavenly Dada. And while I think there is a sweet sentiment there, I think to call God Dada or Daddy is in some ways presumptuous, but also it misses the glory and the majesty of who God is. And what Paul is trying to tell us here is not that God is there to be your Dada, but that the King of the universe and the Creator of all life has chosen you, who has claimed you as His own. So what Paul is really telling us here is that the Christian life is not about cooing and being rocked to sleep and warm fuzzies and cotton candy clouds and everything's okay and Dada's with us and He's going to hold us and nothing bad's ever going to happen to us. And that's not it. The fact that the Christian life is a lot rougher and rawer than that. What he's really saying is that to be a disciple means that we are going to magnify and glorify Abba Father, King of the universe, and in reverence to His majesty, obey everything he tells us to do. Here's the key, is a series of ifs. And the most important one is when Paul says, if in fact we suffer. I don't know what to make of that. Paul is saying, you're a child of God, he's your Abba Father, that we're co-heirs with Christ, that we are children of God. But then he sticks this little thing in there about if we in fact suffer. You know, I remember when I became a disciple and the sermons that I heard and the testimonies that people shared and the message that was given to me, and it was never come to Jesus so you can suffer. It was always, everything will be perfect from now on. Life will be magic if you just follow Jesus. And everything you want will come to pass. But that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying that to be a disciple means that we surrender ourselves and fully welcome suffering in our lives. What kind of suffering? Not suffering to sickness or suffering to hurt or cancer, but suffering to a cause, suffering to a purpose. And why do we obey God? Why do we enter into this life of suffering? Because Abba Father asked us to. Here's what the Spirit does. The Spirit opens our ears for the first time, and we are able to hear the voice of God saying, Daddy loves you. And the minute we hear that, the minute we experience that, and I don't mean some kind of audible voice from the clouds, but the first time we know Daddy loves you, everything changes. And we respond to that love. In fact, He loves us so fully that we're willing to do anything He asks. How is Jesus going to make you suffer this week? You know what? Maybe He's going to make you forgive someone. You really would just love to hang on to that grudge, but you're going to have to suffer. How is Jesus going to make you suffer this week? Maybe there is someone you know you need to go and talk to and share love with, but you just are afraid of that type of person. You might have to suffer through it. Maybe suffering for Jesus this week will mean that you have to welcome someone that you don't agree with their life, you don't agree with their beliefs, you don't agree with who they are, but you're just going to have to suffer through it and love them regardless. Suffering for Jesus can mean a lot of things. It can mean going places you never thought you would go. It can mean volunteering in ways you never thought you'd be willing to volunteer. Suffering for Jesus, some people might call teaching a Sunday school class or serving as a deacon a form of suffering. But for others in other parts of the world, suffering for Jesus might mean paying every last ounce of life, risking all to communicate the love of Christ with an unchurched people. Stanley Hauerwas once said in class that the true missionary knows what it means to be a martyr. And then he said, it's not about having enough faith to martyr yourself, but having enough faith to allow everything you are, everything you love, everything you dreamed for, everything you had planned out in your life, letting all of that die for the cause of Christ. That might be how you are being called to suffer. But when we follow Jesus, when we really follow Him, it can hurt. And it won't always be comfortable. And it might take a lot out of us. And we might have to put up with some people. We might have to give up some things we cherish. But when we hear the voice of God in our lives saying, Daddy loves you, gosh, it just seems like none of that stuff really matters anymore. And the only thing that matters is the Father who's holding us in His arms And that's all we can see and hear and experience and feel in our lives. And we just look back at him and say, Father, how do anything you want? Let us pray. Lord, teach us to be your children like that. Children who are willing to not just take the good things you give us, but children who are willing to suffer and go and be the children you want us to be. Give us the power of the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, without him, we are lost in this effort. We can't do it on our own, and we don't have enough bricks to build a tower tall enough. Come, Holy Spirit, in our lives this week. Empower us to suffer. In Christ's name, amen. Our hymn of response is, I am thine, O Lord. That's what we're really saying. Is that we're saying, give ourselves to the Master. Would you allow this to be your prayer of commitment and your response to the Word of God this morning as we sing hymn number 290, verses 1 and 2. Would you please stand if you're able? After the postlude, we will have a short business meeting to elect the deacon nomination team. Visitors, you may not want to stick around for that, so we certainly understand if you want to leave during the postlude. But after the benediction response, please be seated, members, for just a few moments. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the Spirit blow upon you this week, blowing off all the chaff and dust and dirt of life, lifting you up and putting you in a better place. May he empower you, filling you with strength and energy, compassion and vision. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.